Good morning. Yeah, Matt left me on. Hey, first I just want to give you a brief update. I don't know if you remember, a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I told Lexi Winger that God loves Northmore softball. I was trying to get her to come play. She wouldn't. Well, I will tell you this. Those girls, I had 15 girls on the team. We finished around, I think we had 12 wins on the year. But they won the right to go play for a district championship, which is something that's never been done in Northmore before. So for 27 years of softball, there's never been anything in the trophy case. This group put a district runner-up trophy in the case. I'm pretty proud of them, but it's not because of anything I did. You know, I say that in jest that God loves Northmore softball. There's so many things that happened through this year. I think, you know, God had his hand in this. And that's pretty cool. And then last week I missed church because I was at a district meeting that they have to go to. I'm not sure why they schedule them on Sunday at 11. I don't know. So there's 19 teams in our district, and I put up my three seniors for all district, and I'm going to have a proud coach moment here. We had to turn in all this stuff beforehand. Had to be in by Friday before the vote, so the vote could actually take place before the meeting. My thing is, if we're voting before the meeting, why are we having a meeting? I think we have meetings to have meetings. Anyway, so they go through and they tally these votes, and as I'm looking at the board, I notice one of my girls is getting an awful lot of votes. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Even prouder moment was, it was Morgan. Out of the 12 teams that actually showed up to vote, Morgan received 10 of the votes for first team All-Central District. So she is a first team All-Central District softball player, but she was fifth in the progression. She missed being fourth by one vote. The top six girls get all Ohio honors. So she was an honorable mention All-Ohio kid. And that's something that, yeah, I'm proud of her for that. But I go back 2 years to when she was a sophomore, and she said, Dad, I'm not going to play basketball. I said, okay, that's cool. What are you going to do? She said, I want to be an All-Ohio softball player. I said, well, that's a pretty good goal to have. There is no way she's going to be an All-Ohio softball player. But she took all the reps and all the extra swings and all the time in the summer to get herself to where she needed to be. And I, you know, she's not here today. Lindsay took her to Cedar Point. But I wanted to say that because it leads into what I'm talking about today is, do we put that much time and effort because our name is already on a list? Guys, that list we're on is so much better than any list we can get here on earth. And that's pretty cool. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you to come in, and Lord, while this Memorial Day message was given by you, and I know that this is where you want me to go, Lord, just take me out of the equation and shut me down and let me be your mouthpiece, Lord, and bring out what you want me to bring out and let people hear what they need to hear and what you need them to hear so that they can go on through their life living as knowing that they are on that list that you created, Lord. Let us live with the praise and let us worship you in everything we do. Your name I pray. Amen. So Memorial Day. And I'm going to be using three different passages today. But three things I want you to take. On Memorial Day, we, number one, mourn the loss of loved ones or people before us. Number two, we remember the lives. And number three, are thankful for the sacrifice. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. But those three all tie into what Christianity is. What is the history of Memorial Day? Memorial Day is an official holiday in the United States. It was observed on May 30th until 1971, when for federal employees the date was changed to the last Monday in May. It is also known as Decoration Day. The custom of placing flowers on the graves of the war began on May 5th, 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1868, General John Logan, the President of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be a day to decorate the graves of comrades with flowers who died in defense of their country during the rebellion. And then after World War I, it was set aside to honor all Americans who died in war and pay tribute to deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilian. The most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is placing a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns, located in Arlington National Cemetery. And if you've never seen that, get online and look it up. That is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Today, we celebrate this day. Many people see it as just a day off, a three-day weekend, a reason to cook out and invite friends over, but for those who have lost someone because of war or military action, it means much more than a day off. In fact, every American ought to recognize this day and honor those who gave their lives to make America what it is today. Free, strong, and a nation worth fighting for. Because men have died for this country, we have the right to preach God's word freely. We have the right to live at peace in our own homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. We need to thank God for those who died to make us free. On Memorial Day, we mourn the loss, remember the lives, and are thankful for the service. And as we prepare to honor that tomorrow or honor that this weekend, listen, that's very important. I have relatives that served in the military. Guys that I don't know that didn't come back from Germany. But my grandfather did come back from Germany. You know, and he never talked about that. You know why? Because he lost two brothers. Come to find out they were about 4 miles apart. Bizarre. But as we prepare for that, it's important for us to remember the one who died to set us free from our sins. And that's where we're going today. Jesus fought the armies of hell so that we might have liberty in his name. Listen, every week is a celebration, memorial of Christ. Sometimes we get so tied up in a holiday that we take for granted. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. You know that worship exists not to please you, but worship exists so that God is pleased. So, the music we play, the attitude we have, the whatever, we need to understand that it's not for us. It's not for us. It's for our God. So let's take a look, a closer look. On Memorial Day, we mourn a loss. Matthew chapter 18. And yes, I'm going to talk about sheep. The parable of the wandering sheep. We're going to be in verse 12. And we're going to read through 14. It says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the other 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." Because that's the God we serve. He has every hair on our head numbered. Every person in this world, he knows. Not just knows the number, he knows. He knows what somebody in Germany, what their life looks like. That's not even born yet. He knows where my life is going. He knew that 50 years ago before I was born. And that's the guy we put on the cross. Through our sin. So as we mourn the loss of Christ, we realize we are the ones that should have been there. You know, he gladly took our place to cover our sins. And he died. Why? Because he did not want one sinner to be lost. If it was just up to us to pay our price for sin, there would likely be people left out. Guess what? It's not up to us. He already paid the price. I would have loved to have been around in the time that Jesus walked the earth. That would have been pretty cool. But I don't know. Would I have been one of the followers? I hope so. So we mourn the loss with the understanding that he did that for us. We remember the lives. We're going to go to Luke chapter 24. And we've been in this passage a ton. I know Matt's preached on it. Les has preached on it. But it's important because it remembers what Jesus did. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So again, we've talked about distances. 7 miles, that's here to Mount Gilead, right? About. Man, we can get there in about 10 minutes. 7 miles? Man, that's a 4 or 5 hour walk. Depending on how fast you walk. Let's say you walk 1 mile an hour. It's a 7 hour walk. Okay? These guys are just strolling along. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. So, you know, this is days after the crucifixion. Can you imagine walking? Just walking, talking about, you see what those Romans did to him? Our conversation now needs to be, did you see what I did to him? I put him up there. That's humbling for me to know that the God of my life I put on the cross. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So I don't know, you know, it's just me and Matt walking down the road, and we're just talking, we're grumbling about, you know, the guys that crucified Jesus, or whatever. All of a sudden, the third guy comes up. We don't know he's there, you would think. But they were kept from recognizing him. What's that tell you? What it tells me is, he didn't do that for his glory. He did that for us. He did that for us. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Now, I didn't read that with a ton of sarcasm, but I can just imagine this guy saying, "Dude, are you dumb?" And it's like he was talking to me. "Are you dumb? Do you not know what's going on?" Because he didn't recognize Jesus. He just thought it was some guy. "What things," he asked, "about Jesus of Nazareth?" They replied, "He was a prophet, powerful in the word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body." So these guys, they're upset. They're upset because they thought Jesus was going to be the guy to take them out of all their trouble. Jesus was going to, and this is the way we would think of it. We think of people that are famous, that are whatever. But if Jesus lived today, he'd be like the president. Or he'd be like LeBron James, which I can't stand. Or he'd be like whoever else, right? Because we would think he's going to do such great things. But instead, he was crucified. Instead, he was crucified. And the women that were with them said they can't find him. "They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." I guess in my mind, my question is, where are these two clowns going? They have all that going on. These women, if somebody comes and says, "I see a vision, I need you to come with me," I'm going. Right? These guys are walking the other direction. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken." Guys, it was foretold. And if these guys spent time with Jesus, they kind of knew what was supposed to happen. They knew he was going to die. They knew he was going to beat death. But in their mind, I think still they thought, man, he's going to beat death by when they hang him on that cross, he's just going to jump off of there. When that didn't happen, okay, now what? Then they go to the tomb and he's not there, and some of them are like, "What happened? Somebody stole the body." No. Our Jesus, my Jesus beat death so that I can have eternal life with him. So that's how we remember lives, through Jesus. When we remember lives, you know, I want you to think about a funeral. I want you to think about a cemetery for a second. All of those graves, right? They're there. Why? They're there because that's where the family can go to in memory of those lives. You know, my mom and my grandmother always spent days and days and days placing flowers and whatever on the graves. And they made sure on Memorial Day that that grave was shining. And that grave was perfectly, no weeds, had beautiful flowers in it. And when my grandma passed, that became my mom's job. And man, Dad and her go to, I don't know, 5 or 6 different cemeteries. On, like, they went Thursday and Friday. And, you know, do we do enough to remember lives? And that falls to our Christianity. Do we do enough to remember life? You know, we remember the death on Easter. We remember the resurrection on Easter. But do we do enough daily to remember the life of Jesus? The life that Jesus wants to have inside of you today, forever. That's pretty cool. Guys, if we accept that he died on the cross, and we accept that he rose from the dead to beat death, then we have to accept, if we have a relationship with him, we have eternal life. What are we worried about? But the headstones, they don't tell you everything. What's a headstone usually tell you? Name, date of birth, date of death. Right? They tell you the years that life spanned, but they don't tell you anything about that life. Guys, our empty tomb tells us everything we need to know about Jesus' life. What must we remember about Jesus? The answer is that he would like us to remember how he lived and what he taught us through his life. He set an example on how to live in love. Our life should reflect that love. You know, even when Jesus was captured right before his sentencing or whatever, the disciples, man, they wanted to fight. They're ready. They're ready to die right there with him, to fight. They're not going to take it. Jesus didn't want that to happen. That tells you everything you need to know about our Jesus. He loved everything he did. Sometimes it's hard for us to love the people all the time that we deal with every single day. He loved that way for me 2,000 years ago, before I was even a blip on a radar except for his. He loved me that way. The third thing I want you to take from this is, on Memorial Day, we must be thankful for the sacrifice. Before I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, defense versus 23-26. Great passage. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Guys, there's going to come a day where we don't get to take communion anymore. Why? Because we're going to be in the presence. We are going to be in the presence. We're not going to need that remembrance because we're going to live in his presence at his right hand. Because of what he did. But now, that's why this is so vital to Christians. That's why this is so important to us as Christians. Because this little wafer represents his body. And I don't care whether we have these ones or whether we had the other ones. You know, whenever, because I'm visual, whenever I get these, snap them, because I want to see, envision, and think, and pray about that's just how broken God's body was. They did that for me. That's pretty cool. And then the cup, you know, the blood that he shed, the same way. Guys, there's going to come a day where we don't need that. And nobody knows when that is. If they think they do, they're wrong. But I have a couple other things, but here's what I want you to leave with. When we go through our daily lives, every day is a celebration of Memorial Day for our Lord and Savior. Not just holidays. You know, Kelly said this morning, she told Neil yesterday that I was preaching because it was a holiday. I don't know. It's just the way it falls. You know, it's weird. Here's what is also weird is this is the first graduation Sunday I won't be speaking. I have a graduate next Sunday. So that's pretty cool. Because I would have been a blubbering mess. I'm proud of her. I'm glad she's moving forward with her life. Man, it's hard to let go as a parent. And then I think about that as Christianity is, you know, Jesus lets me do dumb things every day, and he still loves me. I put him on the cross with the dumb things I do. It's not the Romans that put him on the cross. Me. We do this in remembrance of him. So a little illustration. It was a few weeks before Christmas, 1917. And this is a World War I illustration, but I thought it was pretty cool. The beautiful snowy landscapes of Europe were blackened by war. The trenches on one side held the Germans, and on the other side of the trenches were filled with the Americans. It was World War I. The exchange of gunshots were intense. Separating them was a very narrow strip of no man's land. So I want you to think about that. If they're 50 yards apart, I don't know, half a football field, they could stay there and shoot all day, right? I mean, unless you're up out of the trenches, you're going to get hit. Probably not. Technology wasn't like it is today. So the way to advance the battle was somebody had to work up the courage to jump out of that trench and try to go to the other trench. And I saw a picture yesterday of the guys before they were, not getting away from this, but this reaffirms what I'm telling you here. The guys that were getting ready to invade Normandy. And there's a nice little story with it. I almost used it. But here were these guys in these U-boat type things. And you look through the picture, and I suppose there was photography back then. I don't know. I don't know if it's a... But all these kids, literally, they looked like little kids in these U-boats. They had no idea what was beyond that wall of that U-boat. And these, I mean, every picture I've ever seen of those U-boats, my grandfather actually came off of one of them, and these soldiers were all just calm and tranquil and ready to go. I'd have been a hot mess. But it's pretty cool. All right. A young German soldier attempting to cross that no man's land had been shot and had become entangled in the barbed wire. He cried out in anguish. Then in pain, he continued to whimper. Between the shells of all the Americans in that sector could hear him scream. When one American soldier could stand it no longer, he crawled to that German soldier. When the Americans realized what he was doing, they stopped firing, but the Germans continued. Then a German officer realized what the young American was doing, and he ordered his men to cease fire. Now there was a weird silence across the no man's land. On his stomach, the American made his way to that German soldier and disentangled him. He stood up with the German in his arms, walked straight to the German trenches, and placed him in the waiting arms of his comrades. Having done so, he turned and started back to the American trenches. Suddenly, there was a hand on his shoulder that spun him around. There stood a German officer who had won the Iron Cross, the highest German honor for bravery. He jerked it from his own uniform and placed it on the American, who walked back to the American trenches. Only when he was safely in the trenches did they resume the insanity of war. The German soldier was thankful that the American soldier's sacrifice. So on Memorial Day, we mourn the loss, remember the lives, and are thankful for the sacrifice. All the heroic acts done on the battlefields throughout history have made our country what it is today. We are free, we are wealthy, and we are respected around the world. I am proud to be an American. I have the luxuries of this country because men have died to give me what I have. Similarly, the price Jesus paid afforded us salvation. We have the promise of salvation and eternal life, and we've done nothing for it. For this, we must be thankful. Let's go to prayer. Dear Lord, I just come before you, and I know that I put you on that cross. And Lord, I know that you did that for me. And I also know that in that grave and in that tomb, you rose again to beat death, so that I have hope of eternal life. Lord, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. Lord, as we go into this Memorial Day weekend, and as we celebrate our country, but we mourn the loss of loved ones. We mourn the loss of young people due to war. Lord, let us remember you provided the example for this long, long time ago. And we love you and we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So the band's going to come and we'll have a invitation song, and Les and Jesse and I will be here. And if you need prayer for anything, if you're struggling with anything, if you have praises you want to bring before the church, we love to hear all of them. Guys, the funny thing about Sunday